This is Logan Seculo. Today we talk about the DNC's unconventional convention with this Night One recap.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to the one and only flag waving, God praising, trail blazing, heck raising radio show. It's the Logan Seculo reprogrammed takeover once again. You know, you're not seeing double. This isn't a rerun, Will. They called us in because they're like, there's only two people in this whole company who could best talk about the Night One DNC debate. And I think that's because they noticed, oh, you're not wearing your neck.
My mask, face mask?
But it's like
a bandit.
Cowboy. Cowboy. Yeah. And they're like, he wears a headband. He can talk about the Democrats.
That's right.
The DNC was last night. I'm curious if any of you guys watched it. Give me a call, 1-800-684-3110. What I will say is that in previous years, previous election cycles, I'm typically someone who will watch the conventions on both sides. Just because I like, this is usually the fun time in politics.
Right.
This is the only time that I actually actively turn on the news in the evening, is usually this 6 month span leading up to an election. But with very little pomp and circumstance, with very little coverage, the whole thing was two or three hours last night?
2 hours of content.
Yeah, 2 hours on all the national broadcasts and a bunch of pre-recorded mess. We're going to get into it. I can't say I watched every second of it. I'm not going to lie. And I'm curious what the overnight ratings are going to be, because not that I don't expect them to be huge. They will, because there's enough people out there who care that the ratings will be big. But people like me who were watching for the, like I said, watching for the show, watching for the pomp and circumstance, the arena type vibe, the balloon drops, the big moments, the big speeches, that I can respect at least the performance on both
sides.
The
show of it all.
The show of it all, and sort of again, you know, being part of the system right now and seeing what they're talking about. You want to know what they're talking about. You want to know both sides are talking about so you can make an informed decision. But I'll be honest. Now, this is what, three-night event? Four-night event?
Four nights. Four That's night right. Event. And there's going to be four nights of the RNC next week, so it'll be Monday through Thursday as well.
Yeah. I wish they would call me to help program these things better, because I do feel like I don't know, though,
because as far as for the DNC, it felt very NPR. It felt very telethon.
Like a PBS telethon.
They may have done the precise programming they were looking to do. They may have
we
nailed it. This is the best DNC we've had.
Look, I think, okay, that's, no. I mean, it was shot well. I mean, I think there were the production was good for most of the speakers. It looked professional, but almost too professional. You know, there is a point of pre-recorded where it no longer feels live.
Right.
There's no longer energy in the room because there is no room. And Michelle Obama was the main event speaker, headliner last night, as well as Bernie Sanders, John Kasich, which I guess was the surprise kind of.
I mean, he was announced.
Beforehand. Yeah, I mean, it's just sort of like the little, like, you know, they always have somebody try to get someone on the other side. And then obviously Governor Cuomo and a mix of other people, Amy Klobuchar. Right, when she on last night?
She was, as well as Doug Jones from Alabama.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I don't feel like this was that stacked of a lineup for a night one, but you got to build up. You got to build up. I mean, Michelle Obama, obviously a lot of people want to see her. A lot of people expected her potentially to be the vice presidential running mate. A lot of people expect her to run in the next 4 or 8 years. So, and this happens, you know, and I think that's the same with Cuomo right now. Is you see these faces, because remember these faces, you're likely going to see them again in a few years, because that's how politics works, unfortunately. Unless you're Donald Trump and you come and you blow it all up, you know, the whole idea of taking turns no longer exists. Which I don't mind that. I'm not a big fan of that system. Give us a call. I want to know what your opinions and thoughts were on the first night of the DNC, or if you even watched it at all. If there's a reason specifically you decided not to watch it, I want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. We're going to be taking phone calls. We're going to be playing bites from it, sound bites. You're going to be able to hear some of the words that came out of these pre-recorded speeches. That's at 1-800-684-3110 for your voice to be heard on the air. Support the work also of the ACLJ. We're in the middle of our matching challenge for August. We appreciate it. That's at ACLJ.org. Take a look at it. Thanks for listening to this segment of the Logan Seculo Reprogram Takeover. Don't worry. They'll be back tomorrow. We got to cover it today. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Seculo Live. This is Logan Seculo doing this as part of a little combo show that we do, the Logan Seculo Reprogram Takeover. We did it most of last week, and you know what? They called us back in today. We appreciate it. A lot of you guys on Facebook that I'm following right now, because there's about 7,000, 6,000 people watching online right now, live. A lot more watch it later on. So for the hundreds of thousands of you that are watching later on, hello. A lot of people are saying they skipped it. A lot of people are saying they watched a few minutes of it and couldn't take it anymore. I think this has sort of that live sports problem, Will, which is even when a sport is live, there's something about it without that live crowd that doesn't really connect. And the main reason maybe it didn't connect is we go to Michelle Obama, former First Lady of the United States, potential presidential candidate in the future, someone who was always on that rumor list, someone who Joe Biden desperately wanted as his running mate, from what we can at least tell, because he said, I would love to have her, please, please. Because, you know, I mean, she could rally a base. Here's what something's interesting. You have a big moment. Well, vice presidential candidate picked, Kamala Harris, first person, of woman of color to be picked and to be even as just a candidate in major party. For some reason, Michelle Obama doesn't even mention it in the speech.
Doesn't point out this fact of this historic moment.
And I wonder why. I wonder why she didn't bring it up, Will. And maybe it's because she recorded this thing weeks ago before they even had the decision that Kamala Harris would be the pick. You don't think this would have been a moment where we go, maybe we should reshoot this? That maybe there's some powerful things here? Or did Michelle Obama just say, you know what? I'll do this for you.
It's not like it was announced yesterday either. They had a week that she could have recut portion of it even.
Yeah, or just, you know, wait and do it. I mean, what's she doing right now? Everyone's at home. She's clearly at home. Right. We saw the video. You couldn't have redone that. You had a week to where you have maybe one of those prominent people in politics, specifically a woman of color, to talk about this kind of remarkable moment in politics, and you decide to leave it out. And that honestly speaks volumes to how the DNC is going to be, you know, sort of essentially treating the scenario going forward, which is it almost feels like admitting defeat.
It almost feels like 2016 when Hillary Clinton phoned it in at the end of her run for president, didn't go in the final days to the battleground states, didn't go to Wisconsin, didn't go to Michigan, didn't go to Pennsylvania. She phoned it in. And that's kind of what this moment feels like. When you have a marquee speaker, you have Michelle Obama, and her speech was very targeted. It was well written.
Yep. We should probably hear from her in a second.
She played off of that theme from her 2016 speech where she said, when they go low, we go high.
Can we hear that?
Yeah, let's play that. That's by 50.
Going high means taking the harder path. It means scraping and clawing our way to that mountaintop. Going high means standing fierce against hatred while remembering that we are one nation under God. And if we want to survive, we've got to find a way to live together and work together across our differences.
Well, that's a very nice sentiment. It's a very nice thing to say, except for, I'm sorry, who's caused more political divisiveness the last 4 years? Look at the news. Look what's happening. Look at the impeachment trials. Look at the investigations. Look at all the problems. The problem is this divide is not one-sided. I will say it's not either side just doing a great job on bringing everybody together. But I will say this debate, this whole issue of we got to bring people together, one nation under God. By the way, a lot of your friends watching this not going to be thrilled that you said that. Look, I saw a lot complaining that there was a prayer opening in Jesus' name. Like, why do we have to say? I saw many comments being like, why did he have to say in Jesus' name?
From the left?
Yeah.
They were upset? I mean, it makes sense because the party
has moved
so far away from that that it is surprising that that was included.
This whole thing was trying to reach the middle of America that desperately the Democrats need to secure the election because they have everyone on the far left.
I kind of see your point, but I would also say they highlighted Bernie Sanders on night one.
Yeah.
It wasn't
it's because they got him out of the way.
It wasn't just trying to reach the middle, which you'd say, okay, well, they've got John Kasich. They've got Doug Jones in Alabama, the first Democrat to win that seat in a long time.
He didn't even get on the photo. I was looking at the night one photo. I was like, where's Doug Jones?
But you can't.
He's not even allowed. Not even allowed on the graphics.
That they had Bernie Sanders on night one, and they also had... they had Jim Clyburn, who's the one who famously said that we have to use the pandemic to reshape America in our image.
Right.
So I see where you're going there, but I would push back a little bit and say, no, they're also highlighting the far left as much as they can on night one.
Yeah, I mean, John Kasich, I mean, honestly, and I'll just 100% honestly, who cares? I mean, I got no ill feelings towards John Kasich. Well, I do now. But before this, before all of this, he's been kind of nasty. But before then, a candidate, remember when he wouldn't drop out for months and months and months, though that was statistically impossible for him to win? Kind of pulling a Bernie Sanders? Was that when it was up against Mitt Romney?
No, that was against Donald Trump.
That was against Donald Trump? Yeah, it was 2016.
That. 2016.
Sorry, it's been a long 4 years. Wouldn't drop out. Wouldn't do it. Well, of course, that this guy would come and say this and do this. It's unbelievable.
And do we have even any good clips of him? Yeah, we do. We'll play that in a second. But even his speech, just to set the stage for everyone, was very much almost like a sketch or like a video package.
Yeah, it was like an ad.
He was at a crossroads. It's going to become a meme. You know already, you see the image of him standing at a literal fork in the road on a dirt path.
Like in the Muppets.
Yeah, one goes one way, the other goes the other, and he's there, and he's all of a sudden talking about how important it is to elect Joe Biden. And he says this, which is, you kind of had some interesting thoughts on this. Is Bite 19 that he's saying at this crossroads in our country's future, both figurative in the analogy sense and
but
literal
driving it home with the visual.
He's actually there with the visual. Let's play Bite 19.
Yes, there are areas where Joe and I absolutely disagree, but that's okay because that's America. Because whatever our differences, we respect one another as human beings, each of us searching for justice and for purpose.
Well, of course, we respect people's opinions. We respect everyone in America and their points of view. However, if there are things that I absolutely 100% disagree with, that are big issues. I'm not talking about small economic issues or like, you know, I think the tax code should be this and not this. I think there should be this. And
I think maybe we should decrease funding over here by 5% right. and move yeah. it here. You know, I disagree with where you think this funding should go.
But if you fundamentally disagree with someone's political stance, whether that's on your feelings on abortion, whether that's your feelings on a myriad of issues.
Freedom of religion,
freedom of speech. How they feel about the police, how they feel about any of these issues that maybe would make you lean more in the conservative, moderate, libertarian way, even.
What about judges? That's a big one for you, John Kasich.
I'm not voting for somebody because they're your buddy, John Kasich. I've known him for a long time.
To me, that almost makes the point of, like, there are areas I disagree with someone on. I still respect them, but I'm not going to vote for them. Like, he's almost making the case against voting for Joe Biden by saying it that way.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people, and I would not necessarily say I don't fall into this category, but maybe I would a little bit more, which have the whole voting for the person over the
Over the party policy, or platform.
The policy or platform. I think we flipped on that a little, where I think that most people understand everyone is no one's perfect, Will. So no one's going to fit exactly your point of view. No one's going to show the exact person that you'd want them to be. Everyone has issues. Everyone has flaws. So do you not then pick someone who is going to at least represent the issues that you care about? At least in the way that you think is the closest to your personal opinion. If you looked at two people and you go, I would rather hang out with that guy, but I disagree with him on 100% of the issues, or this guy, I don't really want to hang out with him. You know, I don't necessarily love the guy as a human being, but I do agree with him on 99% of the issues. At this point, I don't really see the difference. I've been around this game long enough when it comes to politics to be completely disenfranchised with it. And no longer are you voting for the person. If you really think that's the truth, unfortunately, that's not the case. You could say a little bit different with President Trump because he was not a career politician. This is someone who came in and kind of blew up the system. But at the end of the day, you're still talking about politics.
And it's also who that person surrounds himself with. Now, the president is the figurehead and the most important within that structure, but it's the cabinet positions, it's down the line, it's even the staffers that they end up hiring that help implement those policies. So you can say that about your buddy Joe Biden, but when you're surrounding yourself, even on the stage with AOC, with Hillary Clinton.
When John Kasich was speaking, trying to like appeal to the, you know, maybe the conservatives who no longer support the president or never support the president, but then right below it on the Chiron said, you know,
Up next,
Bernie Sanders. Not exactly. Sending a little bit of mixed signals there, aren't we? All right, we get back. We're going to take some of these phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. We're also going to talk about the president. He had a speech yesterday as well. Some counter-programming, if you will, out in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and around the Midwest. So we'll talk about that when we get back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to the Logan Secular Reprogram, 7 Infantry Secular Live. Today we're talking about the DNC's unconventional convention with a capital C-O-N. Night one, recap, well, you had Bernie Sanders, John Kasich, Michelle Obama, Governor Cuomo, who actually, I think, though has his flaws, I think did a pretty good job when it comes to actually his speech. I'll give him some plugs there. He's a gifted speaker. But for the most part, an odd, as you said, kind of PBS-style telethon. No offense to PBS. I like PBS. But it's not necessarily what you want out of the pomp and circumstance of this. I do think we need to hear, though, from Bernie Sanders.
That's right.
Because Bernie Sanders, we heard from John Kasich saying, don't worry. I know if you're a Republican, you can never think about voting for someone who, you know, was denied communion because they support very extreme abortion laws. But, you know, maybe you should this time. But Bernie Sanders came in and he threw the gauntlet down and said, you know what? No, we know what this is. Get him in there because we get our crazy supreme socialist leftist agenda in there. And that's honestly not that far off from what he had to say. Let's take a listen to what he actually had to say. This is Bernie Sanders in a pre-recorded message. Hello, this is Bernie Sanders with a pre-recorded message. Let's go to Byte. Is it 26?
Byte 26.
Yeah.
Let me take this opportunity to say a word to the millions of people who supported my campaign this year and in 2016. Together, we have moved this country in a bold new direction. Our campaign ended several months ago, but our movement continues and is getting stronger every day. Many of the ideas we fought for that just a few years ago were considered radical are now mainstream.
He's not wrong. Many of those ideas have been adopted as mainstream ideas. Ideas that just a few years ago, not even, ideas that 6 months ago, people would have said, well, that's too radical. But they know they have to appeal to a certain voter as well. That Joe Biden's not going to rile up the base of the Bernie Sanders supporters, which truthfully were the ones who you'd want out there, the very passionate, aggressive voter. I disagree with almost everything he believes, but at least his voters were passionate. And you know what? It influenced the Biden run. It obviously is influencing who is being selected vice president and what the future of America looks like in this world, in the DNC world.
Well,
so
the way that he's been brought in this time, where he ran another very aggressive campaign, but in 2016, the animosity between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton was so palpable. Like, you knew they didn't like each other, and they went to every step they could to kind of exclude him from the party decision making. I feel like this is the exact opposite.
Yeah.
That you see Biden and Sanders have released a joint plan that's, you know, over 100 pages long that go through mostly Sanders leftist ideas and how that's going to be the path forward for the party and for Joe Biden if he were to have an administration.
Put a guy up there that feels moderate, but actually have him say stuff that's crazy. So now let's hear from President Trump. He spoke, was this in Wisconsin or was
Oshkosh.
This is in Oshkosh. I'm wearing it proudly right now. Wisconsin representing. This is from Oshkosh, Wisconsin. President Trump did essentially a rally, I'd say, is what
he went to several cities in the Midwest yesterday. He went to Minneapolis, and it was one of those, like, fly in, step off the plane, and give a rally
style
speech.
But there was
a
live crowd, I mean, at a distance, definitely. But there to see the president speak with, like I said, Air Force One as his backdrop for a lot of them. And this is what he had to say about sort of the connection between Joe Biden and the views and ideals of people like Bernie Sanders.
Biden is just a Trojan horse for socialism. He is. He's a Trojan horse. He has no clue, but the people around him are tough and they're smart, but we disagree with them very, very strongly. They're mean and they're angry, like her. By the way, nobody treated Joe Biden worse than Kamala, right?
That's right. And that's exactly the point. Look, and I actually have to commend President Trump for one thing. I am not of the ilk that comes out and says these people are stupid. They can't think. They're not smart. No, these are very smart individuals. He said we disagree with them. But these are very smart individuals. And if you don't think they are, you're wrong. Because just because their opinions are different than yours doesn't mean that they're not smart and aren't going to figure out a way to get their agenda moved forward. That's how, in my lifetime, it's gone Republican, Democrat, Republican, Democrat, Republican, Democrat, Democrat, Republican. It just goes back and forth and it flip-flops. Because there's smart people on both sides who are actually behind the scenes running this whole thing. Okay, the candidate does a lot, but there are a lot more people that are really pulling the strings here. And you got to be careful because these are smart people who, if you start writing it off, like, by the way, the Democrats did 4 years ago.
Right.
And start saying, oh, it's fine. No one's actually going to vote. This is what happens. This is what happens. There's upsets crazy. And you can't let it just chill. You can't say, oh, we got this one. When was the last time, Will, even in our lifetime, polling was correct? Maybe Obama.
Right.
Maybe President Obama. But even with Romney and Obama, they were showing pretty close.
Right.
You can definitely go back to, I remember the George W. Bush year, the second time's re-election against John Kerry. John Kerry on the exit polls were like blowing it out of the water.
There
and he got
even
creamed.
A time where Mitt Romney was well ahead of President Obama, especially during the convention time. You get traditionally what
excited.
They call the
bump.
Convention bump, and that can be as much as like 8 points sometimes in the polls. I don't know that we're going to see that from this style of programming because it just doesn't really excite you.
It's just dry.
Doesn't motivate you to pick up that phone call from a pollster and say, yes, I am all in. And the same is going to be for, I feel like, the Republican convention next week. I don't think there's going to be, if it's similar programming, which if for everything that we know thus far, it is going to be pre-taped speeches, very similar. I feel like the president will add some of his own flavor to it, and so that will maybe excite if it's a good speech.
I think that's lame. I don't see why it's necessary. I don't think
there's
going to
be
this.
That big bump, though, for either side. I feel like the conventions are going to be pretty neutral as far as polling goes.
I think it's a waste of airtime then. I honestly think embrace what's going on right now and produce some darn good stuff. You're the Democratic National Convention. You got some Hollywood pull. You can make this look good. You can make it fun and interesting to watch. Okay? You got big, huge stars. Who hosted Eva Longoria?
Eva Longoria, right.
Okay? You got Eva Longoria. And Eva Longoria is out there, like Will said, trying to shill a DVD set to Downton Abbey is what it feels like.
It did kind of feel very PBS telethon. Yeah. Like if you call in now...
Yeah.
You get the tote and the DVD set.
Yeah.
And a year membership.
Before it airs.
Right.
Oh, it's ridiculous. We got a minute and a half. I really wanted to take calls. We ran out of time for calls for this segment, but don't worry. Hey, Edward and Jackie, if you're listening right now, don't worry. There's others coming up. I got the phone lines lighting up. 1-800-684-3110. They've been on hold for half an hour. I'm going to get to them coming up. Maybe not the next segment, but the segment after that. Depends if we have the time. Because I want to hear your point of view on this. And then I want to put this to rest. Well, here's some more clips. These guys pulled like 80 clips, so we need to play some more just to do service of our team, Will. So pull up your favorite bites. How about them? They send us, what do you think of the favorite moments? Show me your highlights. Let's pretend I didn't watch it. And maybe there are things that you thought were really good. Because I watched it, definitely. Every minute of it, Will.
It was only 2 hours.
Yeah, well.
120 minutes.
I saw at least 120 seconds. Not going to lie. Give us a phone call, 1-800-684-3110. I want to hear what you think, even if you didn't watch it. Tell me why you didn't watch it. You usually watch. You didn't watch this time. Let me know. Support the work of the ACLJ, aclj.org. Check out Logan Secular Reprogram. Will and I do this each and every day. It's on all your favorite podcast players. Also on YouTube. And we'll be right back with more. On the Logan Seculo Reprogram, Jay Seculo Live Takeover.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now your host, Logan Sekulow.
Welcome back to the Logan Sekulow Reprogram Takeover at Jay Sekulow Live. Make sure you check out the Logan Sekulow Reprogram. Will and I do this Monday through Friday, each and every day on YouTube, youtube.com/Logan Sekulow Reprogram. Also available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, however you get your podcast. We're there. And hey, if you're a radio station playing this show right now, and you're like, I like the way these guys talk. I like the sound of their voices. Guess what? We're expanding our radio footprint, Will. We've already had stations reach out and say, we want you guys. If you want us, you reach out. Let us know. We'd love to be on your network. Right, Will?
That's right.
Yeah.
Just reach out.
So tonight is night two of the DNC. You got some speakers, Will. You got, I would be willing to bet, because Will printed out these lovely graphics.
This is from Joe's Soul Squad, by the way. There's the...
Oh, did they make these graphics?
There's this small logo in the bottom right.
Oh, I thought that was the graphic
right.
design company.
Oh, no. Like Joe Biden. Like it's, you know... It's,
this is who represents his soul? These are like Death Eaters in Harry Potter. I don't understand. I'm looking at this right now, though, Will, and I would be willing... I mean, obviously, you have former President Clinton. Other than that, I'll be honest, if you were to show, and look, I'm not going to say Republicans aren't going to do the same thing. If you were to show this to a person on the street and say, who are any of the other people on here? Most people would have no idea. Just visually.
Right.
Just by visual. Most people.
AOC. I feel like AOC people would recognize
people.
Right now. Right.
Some people, if you're really into this.
She's kind of a meme. Like people know who she is. Yeah. She's very popular with the young kids.
Is it true she only has a minute?
Yes. So I think she has a very John Kasich style
promo,
which is what she was kind of complaining about.
Should be complaining. You're talking about, honestly, the biggest star on here. I don't care if I disagree with her on anything. You know, that's a main event, Will.
Yeah.
That's at least put her in the mix here, not, you know, off to the corner. Given 1 minute.
I wouldn't know how long Sally Yates has.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, the fact that they have Sally Yates speaking tonight. Did she record it before her testimony before the Senate?
Or is this
after,
when she thought she was going to be the vice presidential candidate? So she's like, I'm accepting.
Sally Yates thought she was going to be vice president. I think she's trying to become an attorney general of the United States. That would be a surprise.
Well, she was up there. She was one of those. She was on that list, wasn't
Sally,
she?
Sally, you're thinking of not Sally Yates.
Okay. Thinking of specifically not Sally
Yates.
Yes. All right. Who else is on this list? You got Chuck Schumer?
That's right.
Yep. You got
John Kerry, failed presidential candidate and former Secretary of State. You've got AOC with her 1 minute.
Yep.
And you've got...
And the headliner...
Is Dr. Jill Biden.
Dr. Jill Biden.
You know what I do like about the pre-tape format, Logan? Is historically, in the last few conventions, when Bill Clinton has spoke, he's kind of... He's not as eloquent as he was when he was the young man running for president.
He's an older man now,
and he ends up just going very long. He had that convention speech. It was way too long.
It's almost Andy Griffith style now.
Yeah,
like it's just these long, drawn out story time. You know,
they're going to have to limit it. They could at least edit it down or whatever. You know that it's going to fit within the 2 hour time block, so you don't have to worry too much about that. Yeah.
Favorite conversations begin with I remember when.
Is that your Andy Griffith? Yeah.
No, that's my Corey Smith.
Oh, okay.
Should we take it back to night one?
Yeah, let's go back to night one. You know, we have been talking about how produced it was, and I think we have time before we end this segment. This is a false start that happened. There was some technical glitches.
Yeah, I was watching.
This is when Congressman Clyburn had a false start because some of the speakers were live. So let's play this real quick as we end the segment.
Good evening. I'm Congressman Jim Clyburn here in historic.
Stand by.
Good evening. I'm Congressman Jim Clyburn here in historic Charleston, South Carolina.
It's not his fault.
It's not. No, but that's kind of the problem when you have speakers all over the country. Yeah. Some live, some video packages.
That we can't play because you wouldn't understand.
Yeah.
Where a woman uses profanity. Who was that?
That was the governor of Michigan.
Yeah, I know what she looks like. I had no idea that's what it was. Governor of Michigan. Yeah, she go find her hot mic moment online. I'm not going to play it here today. We're going to hear more from you guys. I am going to take those phone calls when you get back from the next segment. 1-800-684-3110 if you want your voice heard too. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back. I like that soundbite, Will, this music, because it's like, it makes me want to dance. It's like a drum circle happens at the last segment of JSEC Live, or next to last
it's
segment.
It's very fitting for your headband.
I know. I feel at home, finally, in this segment. Just keep it going. No. Let's take some phone calls, and then we're going to play some more sound. We're going to hear from Governor Cuomo, who doesn't, don't worry, he doesn't actually blame the president. He blames you. Let's go to Edward, who's calling in Ohio. Edward, line one. Thank you so much for holding. I'm so sorry. I got caught up in the moment here. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for taking my call. One of the things that I've noticed Michelle Obama talked about how safe the mail-in ballot was. And my concern is, if you look on the back of your mail-in envelope, it either has an R or a D, Republican or Democrat. I thought your vote was supposed to be sealed and not anybody to know what your party was. That is a concern of mine.
So you're worried. I don't know the
well,
fact
and
on that.
Also,
well,
the states are in control of the, and by design, the states handle the elections. That's why voting machines are different in each state. That's why even within
county.
Sometimes
yeah.
Right within each county.
Talk
so specifically, that could be the case in a. In a specific,
where you are
in
Ohio, yeah.
Or maybe in a few states. I can't speak to that generally because I don't know what every state is.
I don't think in the general election it would say that. Maybe in the primary.
Right. In a primary, because they would know how
to sort it.
Because
yeah.
If your ballot was going to vote for a Republican in a primary race, it could speed up the process. I could see that. I also can see the concerns of that.
Edward said his concern in general, it's just you're afraid that somehow this will be tampered with. That, look, that you hope that the mailman, because it's a mail person, is a federal law to tamper with the mail. But you're worried with them opening the mail, seeing who you voted for.
Or tossing it out.
Just tossing it out.
Oh, here's a Republican.
I mean, how many things have you shipped? I get Christmas cards returned to me 6 months later. We got one 3 weeks ago to my house that we shipped in December, and it was to an under-deliverable address. You know, your Rolodex gets outdated, Will.
Still using a Rolodex.
Still using a Rolodex.
I'm proud of you. Hanging in there.
No, but it gets outdated, so sometimes stuff doesn't make it there.
Right.
And it takes sometimes months.
Or if you're in Nevada. 223,000 primary ballots were returned undeliverable.
Yeah, so I get that concern. I kind of have flipped a little bit on this. Well, at first I thought, well, this is the same as absentee voting. Why do I care? I understand we're going to have to live with it this time for a lot of reasons in certain states. Do I think the reasons are valid? I'm not so sure. Not so sure about that. Mainly because, again, it's been a politicized issue when I don't believe it should have been. I think we should have just, actually been able to talk. And speaking of divides, let's hear from Governor Cuomo from New York. You may know him from all of his things.
He does his daily briefings during the
daily briefings.
So they just announced he's writing a book about his leadership and his response to the coronavirus,
Before it's even over.
It's not over yet. And also, a lot of people put blame on some of his leadership decisions for how high the death toll in New York got. Yeah. Because
his book's called How to Kill the Elderly.
Right.
Nursing homes.
Do not test them. Send them back to their nursing homes. And
A novel.
Yeah.
All right.
Based on a true story.
Yeah, let's hear from Governor Cuomo, who, again, I actually will give props to in the fact that I think he's a gifted speaker, and I think he did a pretty darn good job. But listen to the way he puts blame. You'd think he blamed the president, because that's what pretty much night one is a lot of the times. And all of the that's just the part of the political process. But let's hear who he blames. So let's
A virus attacks when the body is weak and when it cannot defend itself. Over these past few years, America's body politic has been weakened. The divisions have been growing deeper. The anti-Semitism, the anti-Latino, the anti-immigrant fervor, the racism in Charlottesville, where the KKK didn't even bother to wear their hoods. And in Minnesota, where the life was squeezed from Mr. Floyd. Only a strong body can fight off the virus. And America's divisions weakened it. Donald Trump didn't create the initial division. The division created Trump. He only made it worse.
Look, I think, again, until you got to that last line, I think a very powerful statement, one that I think most people can agree with, that the division that has happened, and whether it's Charlottesville or whether it's the Klan or whether it's obviously the horrible murder of George Floyd, these are all things universally we can say this is bad. These are people who have done bad things. We need to reject it. Totally. But when you get to the last line and it's like, am I going to blame President Trump? Sort of. But mainly I'm going to blame you.
Because of your division.
You, the voter, the parent, the teacher who has taught all this. It's your fault. It's not any our fault. Not a politics fault. None of the state leadership's fault. It's you, the voter's fault. Because you put in President Trump. Because you were the one who were divided before any of us. I don't like that rhetoric. I really don't. And look, I feel like that it's something that people on both sides should look at. I don't like when blame starts getting placed on the potential voter. Obviously, there are people out there who want to do horrible things. But that is not the mass majority of the United States. The mass majority of the United States does not want this kind of division. Okay? This division was created not by just out of nowhere. Look, you can go back to like 9/11 and see some of the division. You can go back to the divisions that came out of big cultural and historical moments of the last 200 years, but also that happened in the last 20 years. As this current generation has gone from kids to adults, we've seen a lot, okay? Look at if you grew up, if you were born in the mid to late 80s, you've seen some weird stuff. Because I've seen the way that these things have impacted our parents. And it's almost if these things are things that they have never dealt with. They dealt with riots in the streets, sure, in the 60s. They dealt with the anti-Vietnam War protest. But they didn't necessarily deal with what's going on right now. Plus the pandemic. Plus before that, the Great Recession. Plus before that, 9/11. They've dealt with a lot of stuff. So don't place blame on them. Place blame on the people who actually are making the decisions.
Well, and to me, there's a lot of irony in it because President Obama was not a unifier when it came to the way he governed and the emphasis he put on certain things and the way he treated the right. He was not a unifier. But this also reminds me a lot of the basket of deplorables comment from Hillary Clinton that was one of the big moments I felt like for a lot of people. That was the turn when it's like, whoa, I don't know that she wants to represent the whole country.
Yeah, you are insulting half the country and blaming them for racism throughout the world. And I think
it would be one thing if he's like, we're divided and these divisions are bad and it's all Trump's fault. That would be like, okay, an expected talking point from someone like Governor Cuomo. But you're right, it's so like glaring.
It's targeted on the viewer.
How he's saying, listen to these terrible things. Why are these things so bad? It's because of the division, not that Trump created, but because of what the division in the country is, and that's caused by the right versus the left. That's the conservatives versus the liberals. That's
it's all your fault.
It's all your fault.
It was just a debate.
It was a debate.
Let's go to Jackie, who's calling in Washington on line three. Jackie, again, thanks for holding for 40 minutes. I really appreciate it.
Hi. Well, you're worth it. And it was interesting listening to you guys at the same time. So that's okay.
There you go. We kept you entertained. So I have, the best hold music you've ever had.
You know, that's right. I have three things that I came away with. And I am a Republican. My sister is a Democrat. So we were watching it. I found it to be so desperate, like underlyingly subliminal, desperate, like appealing, telling these people they have to get out and vote. And then, you know what I found? Another thing was when Michelle Obama said things will only get worse from here. You know, that actually, the fear factor there actually scared me, because I'm thinking you guys are the ones holding Trump back from doing so much right now for you know, the country, and you're threatening. Did you pick that up at all?
Yeah, and Jackie, first I'm going to say this. I love that you watch this with your sister who is on the other side, because that's at least proving some of the points we made here, which is most people are not horrible. You know, most people aren't just sitting there with vitriol against some people on the other side.
You can have a conversation with someone that you love that doesn't agree with you.
You can sit in the same room with them and watch this. So first, I got to give you kudos for that, Jackie. And actually, the president talked about this specifically, right? Yep. Is you calling for, Will?
Well, I was calling for a different buy, but I didn't know where you were going.
Well, then maybe I'm wrong. I thought that was number 24.
I was going to say we were going to play what Michelle Obama said that she was referencing.
Okay.
That would be
let's go to that. I'm sorry.
So if you take one thing from my words tonight, it is this. If you think things cannot possibly get worse, trust me, they can and they will if we don't make a change in this election. If we have any hope of ending this chaos, we have got to vote for Joe Biden like our lives depend on it.
All right, let's quickly flip then to Donald Trump and his rebuttal to that, Bite 24.
I thought her speech was very divisive, and frankly, I wouldn't even be here if it weren't for Barack Obama. See, we're standing in the White House. I wouldn't be in the White House except for Barack Obama, because they did a bad job, Biden and Obama. And if they did a good job, I wouldn't be here. I'd be building buildings someplace and having a good time.
I like that statement. I'd be having a good time instead of dealing with the situation at hand. Shows you how it feels to be the president right now, I'm sure. Sometimes it's not fun. Give us a call. Last segment of the show. I want to hear from you. Give us a call.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Oh, well, as we wrap up the show today, we are going to take some calls if you call in. It's thousands of you watching right now. Just like Michelle Obama said, you got to vote like your life depends on it. Give me a call because this show depends on people calling so I can fill this last segment of content. It was a joke. That was a joke. Well, it was.
You don't believe in us.
It was a debate.
It was a debate.
Hashtag.
It's just a lot.
Well, Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
He spoke.
Yeah.
And I asked the guys out in the booth, I said, hey, what's your favorite bites? And this one they sent to me. I like it. It's very Bernie Sanders. Very, very SNL Bernie Sanders.
Right.
Let's hear Bite 31, short but sweet, from Bernie Sanders.
Nero fiddled while Rome burned. Trump golfs.
Always go back to the golfing, Will. And we've talked about this.
Right.
I want to know, what did Joe Biden, what sport did he play? He fake played college football, right? Wasn't that a thing?
I don't know about that.
Am I creating a conspiracy right now?
I don't know.
I think Joe Biden said he played college football for whatever university.
You made me think of John Kerry saying he won the Purple Heart.
I feel like that is way off. I don't think those two stories connect. Y'all Google it and find it. I'm not saying it's true. I'm just saying I read it somewhere that he said in a campaign stop years ago, I played against Ohio State. Oh. And then they're like, no, he didn't. What do you think he plays?
I don't know. I mean, maybe golf.
We know
he probably played golf with Obama.
I saw
President Obama golfed a lot as well.
I saw the ad where... again, people play golf. I saw the ad where Joe Biden is just talking about sports cars. He's like, look at this sports car. And honestly, the overwhelming feeling I got from this ad, and it's pretty cool. It's like he goes through, I guess he's a car guy. He goes through all the old sports car stuff. And then they show him driving. He's like, he keeps saying, I'm a real good driver. And there's part of me that feels like, are you trying to convince us that you can still drive? Like, is that what this ad is? Like, I'm not too old to drive. Like, it gives you that vibe.
It was the weirdest line in that for me was when he said, my dad was a real good driver.
Yeah, it's like a little kid.
Yeah.
My dad was a real good driver.
He was a real good. He went fast over the hills. Mm-hmm.
Get some airtime.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you find anything more? Did you check my facts? Did Joe Biden actually say he played golf?
I didn't find
you did?
With a quick Google, but I was looking at if he golfed.
What does he play?
He seems to have a good handicap in golf.
Oh, what is it?
Yeah. 6.3. I don't know what that means, though.
Yeah.
I assume that's
good. I only
know
the point scale from the Barstool pizza scale, if you're doing points.
6.3, that's out of 10.
Yeah, that's not great. That's not great. Old Portnoy, that's bad pizza in your town. Yeah. Oh, I just typed it in. Well, I don't know if it's true. It's coming from the Huffington Post. The first article pops up. It says, this from 2012. Vice President Joe Biden caught in lie about playing football.
Question mark, though.
Question mark.
Yeah, you got to throw that out.
And then it says update. So I don't know. I think it's from the Gateway Pundit. So, you know, you got to check your facts.
Yeah.
Again, I haven't read this article in about 6 years, so I'll have to go back and figure it out. Still got some phone lines open, 1-800-684-3110. I want to take a minute and take a break from the DNC because we have DNC Night 2. I'm not going to be here to cover DNC Night 2 for you here on JSEC Hill Live. I'll be on the reprogram. We'll probably talk a little bit about it. Yesterday's show, we talked a little bit about politics, but we also, you know, keep it fun, keep it entertaining. I'd love for you to check out the show that Will and I do each and every day. It's called the Logan Secular Reprogram. It's available on all your favorite podcast players, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. We also have a Facebook group where you can go and interact with people. That's just type in Logan Secular Reprogram in Facebook. You can join that private group where you can share stuff, have fun. A lot of times it's related to the topics that we talk about on the show. And also, the most fun way, and the way that's actually growing pretty steadily, is on YouTube, where you can watch our show. That's at youtube.com/LoganSeculoReprogram, or just look for Logan Seculo. You'll find my channel. You can subscribe. You can get if you hit the bell, you'll get a notification every day we post a new show, which is typically in the mid-afternoons. But who knows? That could be changing sometime soon. And again, we're also on some local radio stations, and that hopefully will be growing as well. We appreciate the support. And thank you for watching when we do these special takeover shows. Well, DNC Night 2, again, starts off. Is this going to be another late night watch? Because it runs from 9 to 11,
it's
9 right?
9 to 11 Eastern and so, 11.
11. It's 9 to 11.
You know, it's 9 to 11 Eastern each night this week, actually.
Will, voice of the Lucky Charms Leprechaun.
Yes.
It's true. Look at his IMDb page.
You've been spitting out a lot of fake news today, Logan.
I know.
You're reading from Huffington Post.
Gateway Pundit.
Gateway Pundit, and then you're saying that I'm the Lucky Charms guy.
You just sounded like it when the way you said 11.
I said 11 wrong. 11 wrong.
Okay. Okay. Should we go ahead and take a phone call?
Yeah.
Let's go to Rick in PA. Line one. What's up, Rick?
Hey. Hey, how you doing?
We're great. Thanks for calling.
With Michelle Obama, I think that what she was insinuating is that if you don't vote for them, they're going to continue to foment all this unrest and division and all the problems that the Democrats have been causing for the last 4 years, like this fake Russiagate and everything.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, well, on the broadcast yesterday, your dad and Jordan were both talking about how, is this the foretaste of what's to come, the whole scandal they're trying to brew up around the Postal Service, which
it feels
has,
like it.
Which has had a run, $69 billion over the past 11 fiscal years has been the deficit that they've run up. Rick, I think there is something to say about that, that they're already laying the groundwork for legal challenges to the election because of the Postal Service. The Washington Post is just reporting that at least 20 state attorneys general are going to take legal action against the changes at the post office. So they're trying to make it out again to be an illegitimate election, an illegitimate win by Donald Trump. It's not going to be Russia this time. It's going to be the post office. And it's just, yes, we're going to see that. If he wins again, I think it'll be 4 years of them trying to go as low as possible, like trumping up a impeachment trial against the president on bogus grounds and taking it that far and really doing damage to the country. But I think that we have already seen their roadmap, and I think we'll be ready for it.
I do like that John Ratzenberg, who played Cliff Clavin from Cheers, the bailman,
okay,
he put out his statement on how to, like, I should have pulled it on, like, how to save the United States Postal Service.
Uh-huh.
And this was like, we should all just start buying stamps as Christmas presents.
Okay.
He was like,
I've seen a lot of memes about that, though, people saying, like, if every person bought a sheet of stamps, yeah, it would fund it to whatever. And then someone else was like, I think it actually costs more.
I think he was doing it in a joke. One, I think Ratzenberg is someone who's appeared on a lot of like conservative things. So I thought it was pretty funny. I just liked that someone thought they paid on Cameo to get maybe the world's most famous mailman. Would say he's the most famous mailman?
I would say that.
Mr. McFeely?
Yeah.
Maybe number one. Maybe Mr.
Speedy
McFeely.
Delivery, right.
Number one. Number two, Cliff from Cheers. I don't even know another famous mailman.
Kevin Costner in the film The Postman.
Yeah. I think that's a pretty big drop.
I do too.
Like the top two are rock solid.
I feel like most
solid.
People don't remember that that was a movie.
I didn't until you mentioned it right now.
Right.
Have you looked up famous Postal Service workers?
No, I just typed in The Postman.
Did you know
that came up
that in a speech Joe Biden said he went without him? He was a postal worker?
No, he didn't say that when he played college football.
You
can't say that.
No, that was a joke. You can clip that out. They're going to say, look what Logan said. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. We appreciate it. It's been a heck of a show. Jay Sekulow Live will be back tomorrow with Jay and Jordan. They put us back on the bench where we belong on our own show, the Logan Sekulow Reprogram, which is a little bit more fun, a little bit more goofy. We still hit all the news coverage that you'd like. We have a little bit more, so we have a little bit more edge to it, Will.
A little bit more rock and roll is what you call it.
So I don't get too many times to plug, so I'm going to do it right here. Find us on all your favorite podcast players, Logan Sekulow Reprogram. Look for the headband. You'll find us there. Support the work of the ACLJ, aclj.org. Match and challenge. Talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.